Hare Krishna. Okay, here is some questions which I already gave the answers to in Hungarian, and some of them I'm going to refer to some other sources. Okay, Bhakta Gerge is asking whether there's such a planet as the moon in the spiritual world that one can meditate upon, that takes the role of the moon. And yes, there is. And it seems that it's always a full moon. Although Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Nata Basarati Suryuna Shashankuna Pavakaha, that there's spiritual world is not dependent upon illumination from any sun and moon. But there are sun and moon. Just the sun and moon is different than the sun and moon that we have. And the spiritual planets are all self-effulgent, so they're not dependent upon any other planet for effulgence. But especially since the Goloka Vrindavan planet, especially Braj, is very reminiscent of the material world. In other words, it hides its divinity and transcendental potencies and appears very ordinary. So it also appears to be dependent on an always full moon. And acharyas make reference to that. Naishwara Krishna asks quite a few questions in regards to the whole refugee crisis and migrant crisis, which I didn't answer in Hungarian because I did a whole video interview on it, which was on a podcast last year. But because that was in Hungarian and not in English, so let me just give a briefly pie. What do we think of the migrant crisis? It's very unfortunate. It's something that repeatedly happens in the world, and something that good-hearted people everywhere are sympathetic to and try to do their best. I haven't looked at that article, but just today there's an article on BBC, and I just saw the title, where some pensioner grandmother takes in migrants into her home. In other words, they live there. And it's something that's quite close to my own personal life adventure, because my family were also migrants. In 1956, we left Hungary under very difficult circumstances. We were taken in on the other side of the border by some very nice Austrian people, until we were able to go to the refugee camp where we lived for 2 months, and of course that was maintained and financed by a combination of different countries, Austria, Red Cross, and so on. And then my family was taken in by Canada, which gave us a new start in life, and where, fortunately enough, I was able to also come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And if I wasn't there, who knows what would have happened. For me, it's really not much of an argument, because my whole life situation would be completely different had people not be open to taking in migrants. And I find it unfortunate that here in Hungary they decided to build a wall to keep them up, when ironically enough there's 50 to 70,000 young people, educated young people, leaving annually to find jobs elsewhere. And of course, these migrants, although sometimes they're falsely portrayed as being terrorists, are not that, but rather, although I don't say that they won't, are terrorists amongst them, and of course with the Paris attack, it proved that they were, but many of them are well educated and could have something positive to give to this country and to other countries, just as in the way as my parents contributed to Canada and became very, very, of course they became citizens, they became very loyal citizens and very much indebted for the kindness that they received. So, paradukaduki, we should show compassion and kindness to others. Here in Hungary, we tried approaching some of these people as devotees and offering them, you know, Krishna conscious lifestyle. We didn't find anyone who was game for that. And then of course now the gates are closed. Everyone goes around Hungary, unfortunately. So we should try to be big-hearted, because sometime in the future we may be those migrants. Now Balaram asks about not a very clear question. He talks about time. He says that he thought time was Lord Shiva, but quotes where Prabhupada says that it's the energy of the Lord and non-different than Kali, the destructive goddess of this world. Yes, time is one of Krishna's potencies. Well, there's spiritual time, material time, and now we're talking about material time, and it is under the jurisdiction of Kali, or whom we know as Maya, the material energy, who is also an expansion of Krishna's potencies, but a external energy. And then someone called Mova says that he wants to know Shakatasura's last knife's name. I don't know why, but if it's somewhere, he'll find it in the Garga Samhita. Garga Samhita talks about those demons' previous lives, or Brahmavaivarta Purana. Not always, sometimes they just mention them as being a king, but very often they do mention the actual names. Next is Gopal Roy, and he asks, says that in two places Srila Prabhupada says two different things. In one place he says that the Cupid, who was burnt in his previous life, became Pradyumna, the son of Rukmini, and therefore he's a Jiva. And elsewhere in the fifth canto, it's described that Pradyumna is Vishnu Tattva. So, of course, both things are true, and I remember studying this quite extensively, and so I'm going to refer him to, I believe, it was in the book Krishna Sangati that I wrote, studying Jiva Goswami's commentary and so on to resolve this issue. It's true. Both are true, I mean. And, of course, Prabhupada said it, so both must be true, and that's something that's our sort of foundation, our constitution, is that everything that Prabhupada says is true. I can't remember the details of how that's true, So I request Gopal Roy to look it up. But I did spend quite a bit of time on it. That much I remember. And most likely it's that both personalities are present in the one, both the Jiva as well as the Vishnu Tattva. But I leave that up to his research. And then Bhakta Steve and Arundhati from Gothenburg, who have a Govinda's Rest over there, want a conclusive understanding of store-bought bought milk. Should it be done or should it not be done? And I don't know what he means by something conclusive. What's conclusive for one person is not conclusive for another. That's called that people have different opinions on things. And he cites the different arguments that on one side you get karma, on the other side that cows make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada talks about the importance of milk consumption, and Prabhupada himself consumed milk from shops. So what's the bottom line? And for me, the bottom line is that Prabhupada had given many instructions about us having farms, about us protecting cows. I feel strongly enough about not being involved in the karma of the milk trade, and at the same time not being compromised when I'm preaching by people who also point this out, and I feel myself in all honesty unable to defend myself. So for me the conclusive answer is don't consume milk that's bought in shops. And of course, do cows make spiritual advancement? Say they make spiritual advancement, but I think there's a lot of other ways in which cows can make spiritual advancement, or at least in which devotees can contribute to their making spiritual advancement. One of them is that we take care of them, consume their milk, offer their milk to deities, allow them to live in the proximity of Vaishnavas and so on, rather than just participating in their being slaughtered and then so-called offering their milk to Krishna. And what am I going to say that I haven't said before, or that listeners haven't heard before? Ultimately, everyone needs to decide for themselves and do what they want. As with so many other things, there's no force involved, but with a clean conscience we should really consider what is it that Srila Prabhupada really emphasized and wanted. And certainly if we do see Prabhupada's emphasis on farms and devotees all over ISKCON being able to participate in milk and milk products that comes from their farms, then it would seem like that's the direction that our energy should go in, rather than defending the milk and meat business. And that's it for today. Thank you, Hare Krishna.